Bradford, Rising with Sky Bar. We've got a couple, Thayer and Kat from Catwolf. We'll both be in. We're going to have Josh in the 7 o'clock hour. Play some songs first, and then we'll get to it. But this is stuff by Weekend Friends.
I feel it crashing in, a wave of weight. It's harder when it's soft. I talk about it way too much, but never get the point across. It's something's how I want, but never truly how they really are. I think about it way too often. Death and dying's just the part. But I'm older now. No.
WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar, just played The Cure, their newest single, A Fragile Thing. Well, it's not a single, it's off of Songs of a Lost World, their newest release, great stuff. Went back and played The Replacements with IOU, local band Weekend Friends with Planes off of their Quitter release. So I'm here with Josh. How you doing, Josh?
Hi, doing great. So happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming in. Last time you were here, we were talking about your other band, Fancy Trash, and you've now soldiered on your own, I guess we can say. And so you have a solo release out, and a little bit about the inspiration for that, because I know we were talking off here, that's it's your first solo thing, and that must be a bit daunting initially when you're not used to that, used to being in a band format your entire career, I guess you could say. And so, yeah, what led to striking out, so to speak, on your own with this thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll get right to it, I guess. I didn't really set out to make a record. I was kind of just noodling around in the basement for a while. And I lost my father about a little over a year ago. And that kind of kicked off this, more basement creativity, I think, just poking and seeing what happened. And at a certain point, it all sort of started to gel into something, and I had never sung really anything before.
Yeah.
And I, felt like, well, there's some songs coming here, I think, that need a voice. So I gave it a shot and wound up thinking, well, it's not terrible. let me keep going.
And no, it's quite good, and there's a lot of tracks on it. And you had the Bird Children. That was a quick song you had out earlier, right?
Yeah, I put a single out earlier this year.
Is that the name?
Bird
right?
Children. Yeah. Actually released that on my 50th birthday as sort of a creative statement for here's a new Josh, I guess.
Yeah.
And that song actually, I actually wrote that song after most of this album was written.
Oh, really?
Where I had most of this kind of pretty well situated, and I knew I wanted to do a couple other things with it. And while I was waiting for those things to happen, I kind of kept plugging with some stuff, and Bird Children just came out one weekend right before my birthday.
And you decided to put that out there?
Sort of written, recorded, mixed and mastered all within a week and released it. So just...
Yeah.
Sort of to break the seal, I guess.
Yeah.
And not have...
Like, I can do it. I can do... And now this is a bigger project, but at least I can do it. Something's out with just my voice and my stuff, and it's out there.
Right. Yeah. And Bird Children is a lighter song this album...
A little heavy.
Is a little heavier. It's got more weight to it.
I like that, though. And this was done pretty much in your... Well, a lot of it was done in your basement, right?
Yeah. Everything that I... recorded of myself was done in the basement. All the vocals, all the guitars, all the bass, all the other instrumentation. And I had been working with like some computer drums while I was building everything up. Then I got to a point where I thought, well, I think I need some real drums, and booked a session with a great drummer friend that I played with over the years named Jason Smith, and went out to a studio in Western Mass and caught drums for the album. Then after that, sort of did a few things, particularly a fair amount of the bass tracks, just to lock in better with the drums that we captured.
Yeah.
So everything in the basement right here in Medford, except for drums in a great studio in Greenfield.
Did he give you input, this drummer guy, to the sound of the... Did anyone help you with the sound of the album, the feel of the album? Or did you just pretty much do it on your own without, like, you know what I'm saying? Was there artistic input by other people?
Sure.
To...
The album pretty much came all from me, and just, again, sort of experimenting and tracking and layering and listening. But at a point where I started to feel like it was a record, I reached out to a friend of mine named Brad Swanson, a really great great guy that I used to work with, and I felt like no one else had heard anything from it yet, and I just wanted a little bit of, like, some other opinion, basically. Like, is this something... and so I sent a couple tracks to Brad, and like immediately he said, yeah, this is something. And so he wanted to help out. So he gave me just some feedback and thoughts here and there on, you know, maybe you want a simpler bass part or something, or, tighten up the harmony vocals or something like that. And then he helped me go into the studio. He helped produce that drum session where we did a lot of preparation together on getting the tracks ready, and, engineered by a guy named Monty Arnstam at the studio, who's an incredible drummer of his own right, and he had a huge drum collection, and he sort of curated a drum set for the session that he thought this is the right kit for you guys to record with. So sort of that combination of, you know, Jason's drumming and his sort of sensibilities, and Brad's production help, and Monty's engineering expertise, all kind of mixed together.
How long did it take you to get the whole thing done, the whole process?
The start point is a little hazy, squishy, because I didn't know I was making it at first.
Yeah.
You know, from when I kind of said, well, I think I'm actually committing to making a record. It was probably about a year, all told, with a little bit of a pause after we got the drum session booked. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to keep plugging on the tracks until we got those drums captured in case they changed some things.
Yeah.
So I paused a little bit and worked on some other things, and then came back to it once after that drum session.
Did lyrics come first, or music come first, or was it a mix?
Mostly music first, and then all the lyrical stuff, because I didn't even think I was going to be singing on it. I thought these were sort of just snippets to use somewhere
else. Put an instrumental release out?
Yeah, but it all came kind of in response to listening. And, you know, I never sat down with a notebook and wrote out a bunch of stuff. I sort of... waited to hear what words came from it, you know.
Yeah. Did you have to learn instruments for this thing? Because you play a lot of instrument. Like, prior to this, your main thing was the bass. Is that
right? Yeah, I've been a bass player for like 35 years. and just in different bands and things. I've always kind of messed around on guitar a bit, mostly as like an acoustic guitar strummer. So I would say I had not really recorded much electric guitar in the past, and so a lot of the electric guitar, like, kind of a new thing for me. I got a couple new instruments along the way, and sort of they're a little bit different. Like a tenor guitar is a different tuning and only four strings, and a baritone guitar is a lower pitched, and so that you have to do some transposing and whatnot. So it's a lot of like figuring out a thing on an instrument and recording it and then moving on and then not remembering how to play that thing later, you know? So it was really like fluid, like learn something, capture it and move on, like keep going.
But it all came together. I'm going to play a track off it, and we're going to, I'm not going to tell you what it is, so you'll know, and we'll discuss it afterwards. I'm going to play a few, but I'm not going to say the title. Here's something from Joshua David Thayer's, it will keep getting...
It will still keep feeling rough.
I know. It's like a tongue twister.
Yeah,
a lot of things just keep feeling rough, but I'm going to play this, and then we'll talk about that phrase too, but here we go. Thank you. WMFO in Medford. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. Public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. All right, we just heard Burn Your History Down from It Will Still Keep Feeling Rough. And, well, why don't I jump to that, the title of this? I know it's one of the lyrics, but why'd you pick that one for? It's apropos, I think, because
I think
it's, and this release must have been a bit, like, therapeutic for you as well, because I think it's unfortunate that we got to go through things that are rough, but without that, you don't really gain perspective, I think, for lack of a better word, of what life entails and whatnot. And so I think it's a great title, but yeah, why do you select that lyric?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the music and lyrical content definitely came from a place of just trying to process and figure out how to move forward and, you know, what life is like after any kind of loss, really. And that lyric popped up in one of the tunes probably midway through the process.
Yeah.
And just sort of resonated with me. It felt like a mantra or a guiding principle or something. And to me, it sort of just kind of speaks to, you know, a feeling that, like, when things happen that are difficult, you don't really, it seems to me that you don't really move through them necessarily so much as you move along kind of with them going forward, right? You sort of, those things become part of you and your existence and your lens and the way that you kind of live and process from that point forward.
Part of your history.
It's part of your history. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And we played Burn Your History Down. A little bit about that track.
Yeah, this one, for a long time, it had a completely different set of lyrics and a totally different melody. And then I, partway through, pretty close to the end, it started to feel like I didn't feel an authenticity in the lyrics, I think, and I was just almost cut this song completely. And then one night I just said, you know, I'm just going to try something different and just listened a few times and got this idea for a different melody. And all the whole lyric set and vocals and harmonies and everything all came out just one night, like all in one session. And I think it, like all these songs, I don't exactly know what they're like. I'm interpreting them just like everybody else is to some degree. Because for me, all the lyrics and all the melodies really came from listening to the songs and just trying to hear what they wanted to put forward and not imposing my will on them, if that makes any sense.
No, yeah, because I think anytime you listen to a song, it's obviously usually open to interpretation, and someone that's listening to it might have a totally different vibe on it from something that happened to them or that they experienced. And as long as it resonates, right?
Yeah, and that's sort of, for me, I think that's sort of a theme for the whole record, is like what we are is sort of an accumulation of everything that we've experienced. And we've experienced everything differently than everyone else has. No matter as much as we think, oh, we're looking at the same thing and we're seeing the same thing, it's different, right? Like, we have a different foundation to build upon. And I think, you know, this record, in a lot of ways, is sort of exploring that foundation, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. We're going to play another one, chat about it a bit. Here we go. No risk and no reward. A little bit about that one.
Yeah. That was one of the first songs that I came up with after I got a baritone guitar. Went on a family vacation. On the last day of the vacation, my wife and I went and bought guitars from the guitar player from the band Live, who has a record shop or a guitar shop in Pennsylvania. And so that came home with the baritone guitar, and that riff came out one of the first couple. And then, yeah, like I was saying on other stuff, like I kind of had the music and kind of built it up and listened. And then those words and kind of a simple melody and phrase, but all that sort of came out of it.
Yeah.
And I just went with it, you know, just captured what I heard.
I know this is, currently this is just a digital release, right?
Yeah.
But there is like artwork.
Yeah.
I guess, right? There's a picture. There is some artwork.
There is a picture. Yeah. Yeah, the artwork is a painting I made listening to the record, like everything, right? I wanted to make the art from the same place as everything else was coming, was listen, and create and respond and see what came.
So as you were listening, you were dabbling with some... are you a painter? Have you...
I went to art school. Yep. Yeah.
So this is not foreign to you?
No. But I hadn't really done a lot of painting in a while. Years. Right. But I felt like, because everything else on the record was me except for the drums, I felt like, okay, I could, you know, find a photo somewhere or get some art from some website or something. But I felt like, no, I think the cover needs to come from me as well.
Yeah, everything else had,
and I felt like it would be sort of make sure everything was cohesive and from the same sort of hand and mind, and yeah. So I sort of made 10 or 12 little paintings listening to the record, and that tried them all out, and that was the one that kind of
lined them all
resonated.
Up. And was that did you get anyone to weigh in on that? Did you ask your wife about you sold it, so that's it.
No,
this picture.
Yeah, I don't know, for better or worse, I was pretty. Inclusive, like self-contained,
yeah,
for the production of this record. Like I didn't, I didn't have a lot of counsel with other folks along the way. I mean, sometimes had conversations about like do you think? Should I, you know, like making a decision about like I think I want to just put the whole record out like as a whole, right?
Yeah, we talked about that a bit prior to the record. But this must. I was just talking off air, but. This must give you confidence that you can do it more or less. And you said you had other stuff in the work, like other songs you were fooling around with. So this is this might give you the impetus to confidence that you can do it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the cork is off the bottle or something, right?
Genie's like, out.
Whatever metaphor you want to use. But I'd been. I mean, I think as a bass player for years and years. I didn't really have the confidence to ever really think of myself as singing songs and fronting material.
Sure.
And so this was my first attempt at doing that after a long time doing other things.
Had you even lyrically done anything in the other bands?
I will say, so I have contributed, like I played in bands and I've contributed in various ways to composition and sometimes chord progressions and lyrics here and there. My high school band, I wrote a lot of sort of lyric and chord combinations, but I never with the idea of me being the person singing it or coming up with melodies or any of that kind of stuff. So this was sort of the first time of saying, well, what happens if I just say I'm doing every step of it, right? Mm. Like I'm doing every part of it is me. Mm. I never really felt like that was my place, I think, to be like, I'm going to tell people some things that I think. Right.
Yeah.
I was a bass player, right? Like it's a different mentality usually in that role.
Right.
So it was sort of, and from there was a lot of music stuff that came up. This group pulled from the bigger collection of stuff became a thing. Mm. I think there's at least one other thing that I can start to pull from the entire body and shape into another thing.
Must be a bit liberated now.
Yeah, right. It's sort of, I definitely feel like there's a lot of hesitation and trepidation and doubt leading up to getting this out there.
Yeah.
Now that it's out, it's like, oh, I can do that.
And right.
I think now I can feel like, to some degree, I feel like I can do anything now, right? Like, whatever
plan
I want to do.
Plan the tour.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna play one more. This one is a surprise.
Okay.
I don't know what this is. Here we go.
Thank you.
And I could have picked any number of songs. There's 12 of them on this. It Will Still Keep, Feeling Rough release. They're all very good. I'm glad you put this out. I'm glad you had the stick-to-itness to do it, because it's a real nice piece of work. That was No Sort of Dream you just heard. A little bit about that track.
Yeah. I mean, that's a song, I guess it's sort of about feeling both aimless and determined, I guess, to some degree. Like,
no, that makes sense.
How do you pick yourself up and how do you keep moving forward? And sometimes it's just trying to manage the small things and make small choices, and small movement is enough. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. We were talking off air. The whole thing to me seems like it's a message of resiliency and learning to go on with things that life experiences. And it's not like it has that message, but I don't think it's a somber release, you know?
It's an interesting
thing.
There are definitely parts of it that are somber. But I think, you know, like there's big guitars, there's
like,
big drums.
Yeah, like No Sort of Dream had a kind of floating kind of, I think, uplifting, you know, sense to it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of hopefulness mixed in there.
Usually it's a fine line.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's part of, like, I think any good piece of art can touch on a variety of emotions and feelings simultaneously.
Sure.
Right? And I think, not that I'm making any claims about my own art in particular, but, you know, I think that some of that is in here, right? Like, in one song, you can get different snippets of, I don't know, the human condition to some degree, right?
Yeah.
Like, and maybe, you know, while working on the record, I was also reading Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act. And, you know, he says the personal is universal. And that was one thing that really stuck with me, right? Like, the record really came from a very personal place. And I think I wasn't trying to make something for everybody, but I was trying to make something for myself to work through some things. And I think...
I think it worked, and a lot of those things are common to everybody that you go through. We were talking a bit briefly about whether you're gonna take this, do this live, and that's I guess another thing that you gotta weigh out. You'd have to get a band for one thing, but
I don't have a band right now. I don't have like a bunch of players lined up waiting in the wings. To some degree, I never really thought, as I was working on it, I wasn't thinking, like, how would I play these things and can I play these things? It was just, what is the song to need?
Here I am pushing it. You're like, I had no concept of that.
but, you know, I like playing live. I love playing shows. Getting on a stage with lights and a big sound system is awesome.
Yeah.
I do know some people who play other instruments, and maybe I could find some folks to pull together at some point. I would lie if I said it hasn't been in my mind over the last week or so since the record came out.
Yeah, so it's something to, and it gives you the freedom now to think, okay, maybe I'll do that. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Right? So where can, what platforms is this on? Like, I imagine all the streaming service things.
The stock answer is streaming everywhere. Pretty much wherever you listen to music, you can find it. Bandcamp is a great platform to go to if you want to support, you know, local musician or independent music in any fashion. That one helps them out a lot more than the other platforms do. It would help me out more than the other platforms.
Right. Bandcamp's obviously, everyone says Bandcamp is the preferred choice for musicians.
Yeah. Yep. So Joshua David there, pretty much on all, everywhere. Instagram and Facebook if you want to follow along on things, of course. I can point you in the right direction if you need help. Send me a message.
All right, thanks so much for coming in, Josh. Like I said, I think it's a really great release. And I told him, I'm a record guy. I go back to, you know, because I'm not a kid, and we had records back then. And you put a record on a turntable and you listen to side one, then side two, or if it was a double, you listen to four sides. But you listen to the whole album, the whole release, and I think that's important to do, because there's a message and a theme to it if you listen to the whole thing. And I suggest that's what you do with It Will Still Keep Feeling Rough.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right, Josh. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to have Kat come in about 15, 20 minutes, and This is new stuff by the Japan Droids.
it was around this afternoon. That sudden if he's even here. Check his room. Can't say I know too much about Riley. Said that he screams himself to sleep. Seems kinda strange, normally he barely makes a beat.
Last night I heard him say,
with my feet in the air and my head on the ground, must say, truth be told, y'all look better upside down. Look there, your toes are here, ain't that smile and a frown? Hey, well, you look better upside down. He probably missed his morning's breakfast. Don't think I see him much around then. But I doubt he's gone around the bend. But then again, he filled the night with paranoia. Kept looking like he's seen a ghost. Could be his fitting wings on Elvis. No one knows.
That was Jennifer Teft in The Strange, who just won the New England Music Award Record of the Year for Strange Beginnings. The song I played was Going Out, and I should say they have a show on the 22nd of November, along with two other fine bands, Little Billy Lost and Tell. That's at Kodo in Lowell, Jennifer Teft and The Strange. At 11:22 is the date of that show. WMFO in Medford. Listening to Rising with Sky Bar. We'll be up with Kat in about, 7 minutes or so. I'm going to play a few more. This is new stuff by Canyons and Locusts.
I wish I could fall back into space.